Four times in the New Testament, the resurrection story is told. And each of those four tellings of Easter morning has its own unique characteristics. They are different from each other, yet they have very remarkable common characteristics. They're telling the same story, and the heart of the story is the same, that Jesus is not dead, that He is raised. He lives. And there's one other part of the story that all of the four tellings in the New Testament share. There is one characteristic emotion that all of the gospel stories describe. It is the same in all four accounts. Fear. When those people who came to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary in Matthew's telling of the story, when they came to the tomb, their first reaction was to be afraid. And that is common through all the gospel stories of the resurrection. Those who encountered this resurrection, who encountered and met the resurrected Christ, were afraid. In Matthew's telling of the story, fear is the driving emotion for the day. As the day dawns, fear is mentioned no more than four times in 10 verses. The guards were afraid because of the appearance of the angel of the Lord. The angel's first word to the women were that they should not be afraid. The narrator reports that they left the tomb with fear and amazement, mentioning fear first. And after Jesus greeted them, when they came upon Jesus, the first thing He said to them was, "Don't be afraid." If you read this story in Mark's Gospel, you'll find that the very last line Mark wrote was this. They went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When I was a boy, my family moved to central Pennsylvania, and we lived in Hummelstown. Just around the corner from our house was the old, still is, the old Hummelstown Cemetery. And that cemetery in Hummelstown is one of those old classic cemeteries. As you walk down Railroad Street, there's a tall iron fence, black of course. And inside the fence, there are huge, massive trees that the branches spread out and cast shadows on everything, even at noontime. Well, one day, my brother and I had one of those long, happy summer days, and we were walking home as dusk was falling and the sun was going down. And of course, we walked down Railroad Street past that cemetery. And as we walked along, we might have been 10 years old or thereabout. As we walked along, it's a long block, and it was getting darker. And the shadows cast by those trees were getting deeper. And the soft summer breeze was making things move ever so slightly, you know. And pretty soon my brother turned to me and he said, "There's something alive in there." And off we went. Like two shots out of a gun. And we didn't stop till we got safely to the living room of our house a block away. Moved on. Fired by what was probably only a couple of imaginations. But I've thought about that through these intervening years. And isn't it strange? Did you hear it? As we walked past the old cemetery, the place of death, he said to me, "There's something alive in there." And that's what caused us to be afraid and to run. I wonder if we are really not more fearful of life than we are fearful even of death. There's lots to be afraid of. There's dark corners in every one of our lives, places filled with the unknown, filled with memories we don't want to recall, filled with anger. There are places filled with disappointment. And then there are the illnesses that come upon us and that we fight with and struggle with. And there's the death that threatens us when we're all too young. There's lots. There's lots to be afraid of. And those women who came to the tomb on Easter morning, those disciples who followed them there, they had every reason to be afraid. They had every right to be afraid. There was something alive in there, you know. They found life where they should have found death. They found victory where they expected to encounter defeat. They found a new beginning where they should have found an old ending, and they were afraid, and you would be too. And so would I. At that moment, that marvelous Easter moment, they discovered that the one who had been dead was now alive, and everything changed. Life took on new dimensions that it had never had before, and they were afraid as they began to comprehend it. You remember how it was when you were in school? Some of you are still in school, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you had a teacher or a professor you didn't like, or if you blew a course by flunking an exam or something, well, that wasn't so bad. Because before long, the school year will end, or the semester will come to an end. And then you have the chance to start over again next year with a new teacher, or next semester with a new professor, and with a clean slate, a fresh start. And we've continued to build life that way, and we continually try to make life like that. I don't like this job, I'll just quit and get another one. I don't like this family, I'll just leave them here and I'll go get another one. These gadgets that I have, my BlackBerry, my iPod, oh, that's a year old now, it's time to get a new one. Keeping your options open, moving on, being free to do what I want to do. Those are ways of life for us. We've built life that way and made life that way for ourselves. But Easter makes it different. Easter won't allow us to live that way anymore, because when Easter comes, that means that there's no ending anymore to the old unsatisfactory way of things. Life isn't just a series of years or a series of semesters or a series of relationships or gadgets or jobs, each one having a convenient ending and giving us the chance to start over with a fresh, clean slate. Even death doesn't provide us with a convenient ending anymore. Life goes on, and we are accountable for the life that we live. There's a wonderful piece of poetry that was written several years ago by a woman named Marianne Williamson, but I didn't read it in her book. I heard it when Nelson Mandela used it in his inauguration as president of South Africa several years ago. And I wanted to share this piece of poetry with you, but I want you not only to hear it, I want you to be able to see it. So you'll find it in your bulletins. If you look in your bulletins and follow the service through to its end, right at the bottom of that last page, just after the postlude, you'll see the words to this piece of poetry that expresses a good deal of what I'm trying to say to you this morning and to help you focus on today. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. As children do, we are born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This I would suggest to you. This is the legacy of Mary Magdalene, that woman who came first to the tomb on Easter morning, not guilty of many of the things that we have laid at her feet. There is, for example, no evidence that she was a prostitute or ever guilty of any great sin. Mary of Magdala was one of Jesus' most ardent followers and is mentioned early on among those who followed and supported Jesus. She is prominent, however, during Holy Week because she stays with him all the way through, from the time of his Last Supper to his trial and his arrest and his death and his burial. And she is the first in the garden on Easter morning. She is the one who comes to offer care for his body, but discovers that he is risen. She speaks to him in the garden and then is the first to announce to his disciples that he is risen. But like all the others, through all of these events, Mary was afraid too. She was afraid of the authority. She was afraid of the guards. She was afraid of death and afraid of those unexpected events of Easter morning that inspired fear in her before they inspired faith. There was much to fear in those days and in that time. Just like now, there's still much to fear. But Mary was not overcome by being afraid. She was not ruled by fear. She was able to see through it. And on the other side of her fear, she discovered life and hope and faith. On the other side of her fear. In the novel Moby Dick, Captain Ahab says, "I will have no man in my boat who is not afraid of a whale. And when I get on an airplane, I don't want to be on it unless the pilot is afraid of a thunderhead and wants to do everything she can to avoid it." Fear can be for us the beginning of wisdom. It can destroy us if we're overcome with it. But that same fear can alert us to momentous opportunities before us, the world-changing events that God is calling us to pursue. As we stand before the empty tomb on Easter morning, we, like those women long ago, we know fear and joy. Just on the other side of that fear, though, if we can see through it, just on the other side is an incredible discovery. Make a friend of your fear when you find it. It is warning you of something and preparing you for an encounter. Those who first encountered the resurrection were afraid. And because they were afraid, we celebrate the resurrection they discovered. Because they were afraid, they lived lives that were changed and different. Because they were afraid, they remembered all Jesus had said and done and preserved it for us. And if we take seriously the life that Christ calls us to live, lives filled with importance and responsibility and faithfulness and generosity, all of them difficult and challenging things, if we take them seriously, we'll be afraid too. But then we will walk life's path in the company of the risen Savior who liberates us from the power of fear and calls us to life. Amen.